a little Bereishis. Okay, Bereishis bara Elokim es Hashemayim v'es Haaretz. So the first Rashi, before we go to the first Rashi, I mean, Michal's favorite Rashi in Chumash is the first Rashi. Oh, no, you
touched on it yesterday.
Correct. We touched on it. I want to tell you. We'll tell you something. I'm going to go a little bit further in the Rashi. Rashi points out that there is a disagreement. Well, not only Rashi points out, but there is a obvious. We spend time on this here and there. A disagreement between the Targum and Rashi as to the translation of the first two words, the first few words in the pasuk. According to the Targum, if you ask the average person, please translate for me the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereishis bara Elokim es Hashamayim v'es Haaretz. The average person will say to you, in the beginning, in the very beginning, Hashem created. Well, we're going to put a comma. Bereishis, comma. In the very beginning. Bara Elokim, Hashem created. Es Hashamayim v'es Haaretz. Okay, that is the classic translation of the words, probably in the King's James, what's called the King's James?
King James.
King James Bible.
Right,
sure. It must say there, and that probably every single translation until the Art Scroll, that is the way they translate. And that translation is 100% correct. Because that's exactly what the Targum says. The Targum says, Bikadmin. Bikadmin means in the beginning. Comma. You put a big comma. Not a little comma. A big comma. Like Trump would say. A beautiful, big, the most beautiful, big, massive comma you can have after the word voracious. In the beginning. What happened in the beginning? Bara Elokim. Hashem created. Yos Shemayim, Yos Haaretz. So that anyone that tells you that translation is wrong, they don't open up a Chumash. The Targum is the Ikar, not Rashi. Rashi defers to the Targum. Targum Rashi the commentary on the Targum. The Targum, you know, the Shnayim Mikav Yechad Targum doesn't say Shnayim Mikav Yechad Rashi. It's Shnayim Mikav Yechad Targum. You want to be Machmir, learn Rashi, Ma Toivu Ma Yofe. You want to tell them that you can learn Rashi instead of Targum? That's a real, real stretch to say such a thing. Halach is Shnayim Mikra V'Echo Targum. Targum is the Ikar. B'Kadmin means in the beginning. There's nothing more to be said. Now we learn Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi alludes, he doesn't really quote the Targum. Very interesting. Rashi is writing a commentary on the Targum. He doesn't really allude to it. Rashi clearly disagrees. And Rashi says that big, beautiful comma that we've put there, the most beautiful comma, take it away. Arois, out of the Beis Medrash. The two words go together. Bereishis bara. Bereishis bara. Those two words go together. Which means, it's hard to translate the words exactly, but the two words go together, I'll translate it loosely, towards. Towards the beginning of creation.
Oh, in the Art Scroll translation
is
in the beginning of God's creation.
In the beginning
of God's creation.
Is that what it says? You sure it says that? Something is not right about that. I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to go see. It was the stone edition of the Art. Okay. But Rashi, the basic insight is okay. Getting the exact English word, may be a little bit tricky because you have to really capture what Rashi. Is the comma. That's really the key. The difference between the Targum and Rashi is there a comma between the word Bereishis and the word Bara? According to the Targum, there is a comma. Bereishis. In, take a breath. In the beginning. Bara Elokim. Hashem created. Es Hashem and the Es Haaretz. Rashi says, I don't know what you're talking about. There is no comma. It's Bereishis Bara. There is a creation. The creation already happened. It already happened. And it's none of your business what happened at the time of. We're not telling you. I'm not giving you a story here of what happened. I'm not telling you about creation. Creation happened before your time, and this book is not going to tell you how Eish was created, how Mayim was created, how Shemayim was created. It's none of your business. Don't go look there. There was a creation.
In the beginning of God's creating, it says.
In the beginning of God creating. It's a little bit different what you said.
God's creating. Okay.
In the beginning of God's creating. Okay, so there was a creation. The Torah is not starting from the beginning. The beginning already happened long ago, whenever it happened. During that process of beginning, we're going to fast forward to a certain part of that beginning, but we're not going to the very, very beginning. There was a beginning, and that's none of your business. In the beginning, we're going to shift ahead to a certain point, and let's now pick up the story at this point. So it's Bereshis Bara. I like to translate it towards the beginning of creation, but not the actual beginning. Towards the beginning, towards the creation began, and towards the beginning of that creation of Hashem, Bereshis Bara, you have to do the whole passage together, it's okay. Bereshis Bara Elokim Esa Hashemayim Ve'Eretz, towards the beginning of the creation of the Shemayim Ve'Eretz, the Oretz was saw Tohu V'Vohu. Okay, you have to read it in one swoop. Towards the beginning of the heaven and the earth was Tohu V'Vohu. According to the Targum, it's Bereshis, in the beginning. What happened? Hashem created the Shemayim and the Oretz, period. Number two. By the way, the Oretz was Tohu V'Vohu. Now let's learn, work with, yeah.
I don't know, I just had a thought. In the process of creation,
okay,
something
like that's
that.
Good, I like that, good. In the process of the creation of heaven and earth, the earth was desolate. Each one of these opinions has major, major issues. Okay, if you study the Mepharshim, there's encyclopedias on the difference between Rashi, I once I went often Rabbi Schmidman, he spent weeks on this. He used to have a sheer Thursday night on Chumash. And he spent weeks analyzing Rashi and the Targum, all the commentaries he can find on Utsra Chachma, and each one of these two opinions has major, major issues. In grammar, in Hashkafa, in understanding how the psukim go together. According to Rashi, there really should not be a seif pasuk. According to Rashi, the first two psukim should be read together. And the grammar doesn't work either. It's Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashvan V'Es Aretz V'Aretz Ha'Es Ovavahu. It should really be one, the two first two psukim should really be one pasuk according to Rashi. And there's another 100 other issues, but that's not our point. The point I want to make over here is very simple. A lot of the Mepharshim, a lot of the commentators are almost upset. There's an obsession of being Mechaber, the beginning of the Torah, with the end of the Torah. And there's Svarim and Chidushim and a lot of the things that I find to be very, very forced, very disturbing. Perushim, there's an obsession. There's literally an obsession between the Mechaber, the end of the Torah, with the beginning of the Torah. All right, everything Baruch Hashem is
in
Gemara too. Right, Mechaber at the end, you want to bring together. I'm not trying to any perush. I just want to point out, this is just a very simple idea: is you come now to a new beginning. It's very dangerous because when you have a new beginning, it's almost as if you're saying, whatever happened in the past, it's over, forget about it. Masha hoya, kivar hoya. It never existed. Turn over a new leaf in life. My past, don't remind me. Scrub clean whatever happened in the past. That's horrible. That's a horrible thing to do. You cannot escape from your past. No matter what happened in the past, whether it was good, whether you're embarrassed of what happened in the past, whether it was unpleasant, whatever happened in the past is a springboard for a much better future. It is a tool. It is an elevated starting point. You're not starting now in the beginning, Tov Shin Pei Beis, with Chumash Bereishis. Okay, fresh start. Let us make believe the world has begun anew with Bereishis. You don't want to go, you want to go back to preschool, to primary, to kindergarten, Head Start? Is that what you want to go back to nursery? Everyone here want to go to nursery tomorrow? Go to nursery and sit on little chairs and play with dolls and blocks and cartoons and learn the alphabet all over again? Is that what you really want to do? It's ridiculous. You're not going to start all over again. There's no need to start all over again. You now, because you've gone through last year and you've gone through the year before and the year before and the year before, and you're holding where you're holding. Baruch Shechianu v'kimanu v'genu lazman hazeh. Everyone has a very deep and elevated understanding of the Torah. You're not starting fresh. You're not starting in kindergarten. You're not starting now in nursery. Everything that happened last year has elevated you to a whole new plane. You're going now for your postdoctoral. That's why the Torah, according to Rashi doesn't hold from the Targum. Targum Bereishis, in the beginning. That's a very dangerous translation. Because the Torah is not just a history book. It's not a historical record. The Torah is a living document. And you are re-experiencing what happened. And the fact that there's a cycle of finishing the Torah and starting again the Torah, it doesn't mean you take your diploma and you burn it and you go to kindergarten and start all over again. That's not what it means. It means now you've graduated. When you finish V'zoyis HaBracha, you've graduated. And now you go to the next level. So when you go to the next level, it's on a whole new plane. So it's not like the Targum says. Rashi is disturbed from a hashkafic point of view. Don't translate the word Bereishis in the beginning. Because now, okay, so we're going to... No, it's not the beginning. We're in the process. The beginning has started long, long ago. We've already gone very, very far. It's true, the being that the Torah is infinite, we're still in the Hakdama. We're still towards the beginning, but we're not at the beginning. Because we've already gone through this so many times. So don't tell me that we're now going to nursery. No. It's true, Torah is infinite, so we have barely scratched the surface. Okay? We're in the beginning of the process, but we're not at the very beginning because we've already experienced this. So that's, I'm suggesting a hashkafic approach to understand why Rashi refuses. Rashi here elaborates very much. Rashi goes to town, he goes to bat here. And he brings 100 psukim, and he hacks away with no let up. That there's no way in the world I will accept the Targum's translation. I will. He just refutes it. He will not tolerate the Targum's translation in the beginning, because when you understand the Torah is a living document, you're reliving the experience. You can't just ignore the past. Your past. It's true, it's infinite, so we haven't really gone very far, but it's not the very beginning. That would be an insult to all of your accomplishments and an insult to all of your failures. Because every failure is nothing more than a stepping stone to achieve even greater results. And you cannot reject that. Okay, that's one idea. Now let's go to the beginning of the first Rashi. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. We start with Bereshis because Hashem wants to reveal His power. He has related to His nation. If the Umay Yisrael will say, Li Yisrael, listen atem. Shekibashtem arotzay shivas goyim, so the Jewish people will respond. Heim oimrim lohem, what are you talking about? Kol arit shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu he who viraa unisana lasher yosha beinav beretzayin nasna lohem uviretzaynay nitla mehem nisana lohem uviretzaynay nitla mehem unisana lanu. I want to focus here on the word higid. We know that the Haggadah is called the Haggadah. The Higadata Levincha Bayoim Hahu Leimar. Why does it say the word Vigad? Why doesn't it say in the Pasik Daber El Bonecha Leimar? Bavur Ze Osra Shem Li Bitsesi Mimitzrayim. Emor El Bonecha. Emor El Bonecha. Bonecha Vnesecha. The Torah, when it gives us the command to tell over the story of the Exodus to the next generation, the Torah very delicately and precisely, with precision, selected the word Vihigadita Hagoda. And Chazal dwell upon this, and they tell there's a very big difference between the word Dibur and Amira, Hagoda. What other words are there? There are probably some other words. There are many different words that are found in the Torah that express the ability to communicate. You can say Amira, Dibur. Any other things, words come to mind? Amira, Go'ora, to shout. You can shout. Okay, there are other words. What's so Chazal say? The Beis Yaakov movement is called the Beis Yaakov. You speak to women, you don't scream. You talk delicately. You speak.
Yeah, that's as opposed to
Dibor. But Dibor is harsh. Dibor, Gidin, Koshe ki Gidin comes from with Gidin sinews.
Yeah,
harsh, but tough. Men, you can scream, you can shout. And women, you have to speak politely. You have to follow the rules. You have to read the book. What?
Doesn't Higid indicate a narrative?
Oh, so what's the difference? So Higid is a narrative, exactly.
Yeah,
so when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Torah says it is not enough for you just to lay out the facts. Here are the cliff notes. I'll come back in an hour and I'll test you. That's not the way you do it. That's not the way you fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, by giving them bullet points and slideshows and giving them an exam when the night is over. The way you mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim is through Haggadah. And the word Haggadah has a connotation of give and take, question and answer, details, a full comprehensive understanding of what transpired, cause and effect, reward and punishment. The word Haggadah captures a whole collection of concepts that are very powerful in the world of communication. Don't just give your children the raw facts. Explain to them on their level. Haggadah connotes on their level. Tell them again the cause and effect. Explain the principle of reward and punishment. Allow them to ask questions. Question the she'ela ki yisholcha bincha mocher lemar. That's the question. There is an elaborate detail. This pasuk here says, "Bereish am Rabbi Yitzchak lo yitzchak lahaschil l'tzara ella me'achodesh." What is the chodesh lachem? That's the pasuk. You are mekayim the mitzvah of Haggadah. V'higadata levincha bayom ahu lemar. Ba'avur zeh, asu Hashem li, b'tzei simi mitzrayim. Yochol nerash chodesh. I would think you start with, tam loymar, ba'avur zeh. So then I would think, I've got the whole shachar v'tari. Ha'chodesh hazeh lochem is the beginning of the Haggadah. Yochol nerash chodesh, right? Is that the Haggadah? Part of, you tell this to the children actually. I would think from Rosh, that's when you should be Mekayim the mitzvah. On Rosh Chodesh. That's the story in Haggadah, and that you do. HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem is the beginning of part of the Haggadah that you as a father are Mekayim to your children. The Torah says, guess what? You have another father. There's another father in this world. Avinu Shemashamayim. And he also wants to be Mekayim the mitzvah of V'higadta Levincha Bayom Ahu Le'emar. And Hashem's Haggadah is creation. I'm the boss here. I'm the Baal Habira. The Torah is a book of mitzvahs. What is the mitzvah that you can... your children. Why? We discussed this yesterday. If you would ask the average person, which should be the first mitzvah in the Torah? No one would say this. No one would say Kiddush HaChodesh. No one. No one would say Kiddush HaChodesh should be the first. You know, in the Rambam, it's the most complicated part of the Rambam. Kiddush HaChodesh. To understand what the Rambam is talking about. Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, there's probably a handful of people in the world that know what's going on there. You have to be a super duper over the top astronomer to understand what in the world is going on, and a mathematician. And just a real smart person to figure out what in the world is going on in the Rambam and Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh. Really, this is the first mitzvah of the Torah, Kiddush HaChodesh. So we discussed this yesterday. There's a lot more going on in Kiddush HaChodesh than just the laws of Kiddush HaChodesh. And one of the ideas I'm trying to express here is that the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim is the mitzvah of Higadta is the really the starting point of Higadta Levincha Bayoyim Ahu Le'emor. How do I know that's the starting point? Because we actually say in the Haggadah, Yochol Meirash Chodesh. I would think we should be Mekayim the mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Loim Bavur Zeh. I would think even by day. Tamaloymar, loyamarti al-bashashishmat zeh, bashashishmatsumar munachim lefonech. But the fact that the Gemara says Yachal Meirash Chodesh conveys is that, you know, every Havamina, the Gemara, every Havamina, there's truth in the Havamina, it's the beginning, and that makes a lot of sense that it should be the first mitzvah. Because since the Torah is a book of mitzvahs, and it's not just for you, the ikar of the Torah is Jewish, like they say in the world out there, Jewish continuity. What is the secret to Jewish continuity? You know, the first mitzvah of the Torah over here is Pru Revu. Milu Es Aretz V'Kiv Shua.
Well, that's the humanity.
So in the religious humanity, in the religious, so since it's the Torah of mitzvah, the same way the first physical mitzvah is, Milu Es Aretz V'Kiv Shua. That's the first physical mitzvah. So the world of spirituality, the first mitzvah is Jewish continuity. V'higadta Levincha Bayoyim Ha'ahu Le'emar. Doesn't that make sense? If the first physical mitzvah, Milu Peruvu Milu Es V'Kiv Shua, the first spiritual mitzvah is make sure you go and you give your children a Jewish education. And the Jewish education tells you where you come from and what your purpose is. V'higadta Levincha. And when does V'higadta Levincha begin? It begins with HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem Yochol Meirash Chodesh. So along comes Rashi, and Rashi, so why then did the Torah Taka begin with Bereish Bar Elohim? So Rashi says, because Hashem also wants to be Mekayim the mitzvah of V'higadta Levincha Bayom Ahu Le'emar. And who are Hashem's children? Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. And therefore the Torah begins with Koyach Masav Higid La'amai. Haggadah. Cause and effect. the whole story, the whole nine yards. What is this all about? Hashem is copying us. The same way you have the mitzvah v'gata levincha, I'm also being mekayim a mitzvah v'gata levincha. Why? So there should be a key to this world. You should know where you come from. You should know the whole purpose of this world. This is a mitzvah of v'gadta levincha bayoyim hahu lemar, from the perspective of the Ribbono shel Olam on a larger scale. We as a nation, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Hashem, we are Hashem's children. Hashem has been doing the same thing, just on a larger scale. I created this world in order to give it to you. You should mekayim the mitzvahs. The two go together. It's not just stam. Oh, Hashem wants to go tell you that the Eretz Yisrael, the Begoyim, they're gonna make trouble, and you shouldn't have what to answer. There's something ikachosa min hasefer. But when the missing point is when you appreciate that Achodesh Hazel Lochem is Hagoda, v'gadata levincha, Jewish continuity. Then the beginning of the Rabbi Yitzchak's drash, oh, that takes on now an entirely new, a whole new approach.
You also have Hagoda in a very negative way. If you look at the Parashas Noach, Yarchom Abi Kanan et Erbas Abi Bayagate.
Oh, okay.
You see, he really went into detail. And
okay, so okay, fine. It's the same idea, but there is in a negative way here. We can
right.
be, everything
right.
negative and positive. Absolutely, absolutely.
Yosef and his brothers.
Right.
What does it say about Yosef and his brothers? It says the word Haggadah there?
I think
yeah.
so.
But the Ish.
Yeah.
The Ish.
Okay. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is a short idea, only because
no,
later,
no. No, I think that
we have. Ayaveh is Dibosam Ro'al Aviyam. Ayaveh. Dibosam. Okay. Now we're going to another idea. Now, this is just a very short idea, not a complete idea, because only because we were learning yesterday, Meir is the Lone Ranger. Comes at night to the shir. When Meir comes, then we just schmooze. When someone else comes, so we learn, and we were learning about the bracha of Shema Koleinu. Shema Koleinu, Hashem Elokim Chus Rachel Levekabel Barachel Mavrotan Esvosenu. He kills Shemitz Lusacha Nunimata.
You see me last night, Chair? You were asking who is why.
Oh, that was you. Okay. Oh, I didn't know it was you. You changed your code name. Okay, I didn't know it was you.
No, who is why yet? Always why yet.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you for coming.
He left also.
There was a little.
I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. So we're learning yesterday about Shema Koleinu, and we say there, Chus v'rachem v'kabel b'rachem v'rotzen esfilosenu, kikel shmei tfilos v'sachenu n'mata. And then we have these very mysterious words. U'milofonecha malkeinu reikom al teshivenu. Hashem, you know, we daven, I got up early, I came here to shul, put on my tefillin, said l'shem yichud, halavai, the whole 9 yards, here we are in Shema, Hashem, don't let me walk out of shul empty-handed. Epis, something, give me some, throw me a bone. Since when do you talk like that to Hashem? Whatever will be. You daven. What kind of nusach is this? What kind of nusach is it to say to Hashem, umilufonecha malkeinu reikom al teshivenu? First of all, I want it all. I don't just want to walk out empty-handed. I want so much, I can't even carry it. What is this all about? I don't really have a good answer. I just want to make a ho'ora, an observation. It says here in the beginning of the parasha, v'aretz ha'isa soyhu v'vohu. Rashi, pasuk beis. What does it mean, toyhu v'vohu? Toyhu lashon tema. You're bewildered. You're in shock. Vishimamoin, desolation. Sha'adam toye umishtoimeim al bohu sheba. Person, you give a look, you're just bewildered. You're overwhelmed by, you're astonished by the emptiness, the nothingness. Toyu, Yeah, bohu? What does it mean, bohu? Lishoin reikus. Empty. It is completely empty. Reikus vitzadoi. What does it mean, the word vitzadoi? I don't even know what that word means. Does anyone know what that word means? Vitzado? I forgot what that word means. Reikus vitzadoi. Sadai means, it means, it's another word which means empty. It obviously means a lot more than that. But let's just focus on the word reikus, empty. Look at that. We have here in the beginning of creation, v'ha'aretz, ha'yisa, soyhu v'avayhu. It's empty. It's, there are two things. You're astonished at the emptiness. Tema v'shimamon, total desolation. Sha'odam toya u'mishtoimeim al bohu shabo, you're astonished. And bohu is, that's tohu, and bohu is reikus, emptiness. When we dive in Shemona Esrei, I'm suggesting, everything in Shemona Esrei comes from a pasuk in the Torah. Every single thing, b'li yoytzim in haklal, is rooted somewhere in Tanakh. You just have to figure out where it's coming from. Chazal did not what?
Ki rov ma'aseihem tohu.
Ki rov ma'aseihem
tohu. That only fits if it means empty, right?
Right, that's what tohu means empty, right? Tohu, yeah. It's the word bohu. Now focus on the word bohu. Tohu means emptiness. Bohu, what does it mean, bohu? Rav Chaim Kanes says bohu. Barucha v'chatzlacha. Bohu. What does it mean? Bohu? Rashi says bohu means empty. Every word of the Shemona Esrei is a pasuk. It's rooted in Chazal. Whether it's the words of Chazal, whether it's the pasuk, Chazal did not create anything original. I mean, the originality of the nusach atzilah, the originality is what they selected and how they sewed it together. But the choymer. The Choymer comes from Tanakh. Yidav along Shemoyne Esrei. Shema Kaleinu Hashem Elokeinu Chutz Rachayim Leim Lekabel Berachem Uvrotzen Esvoseinu. Tikel Shemea Tfilo Yitzvassach Lim Lufanecha Malkeinu. Reka Mal Teshiveinu. When you're davening, what are you really davening about? You're davening about the tohu in your life. Person, wake up in the morning. Every morning is like a new creation. Hamachadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim tam. That's how we start the Berachos Yoytzer. Hamachadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim tam. Hashem is machadesh b'tuvoy. What do you mean b'tuvoy? Vayar Elokim kitoiv. Vayar Elokim kitoiv. It says it over and over again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created my sebereshis. And every step of the way. Every single step of the way, Hashem says, "Vayar Elokim ki toiv." Vayar Elokim ki toiv. Hamechadesh b'tuvoy b'chol yoyim tamid. Every single day, Maaseh Bereishis is renewed. Maaseh Bereishis is a creation of a development of the tohu of this world. You wake up in the morning, the world is what? V'ha'aretz. Hayisa toihu vavohu. Every morning when you wake up in the world, you're now coming to renew creation. The world is in a matzev of astonishing nothingness. Astonishing emptiness. And as you go through the Nusach HaTfilah, we are mechadesh, we urge Hashem to mechadesh b'tuvoy kitoiv, 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 to develop, to process the Toyu Sheba. And when we finish davening, we come to the end of the davening of all of our requests, we finish the Tohu. And now we say to Hashem, don't forget about the Bohu. U'milifonecha malkeinu reikom al teshiveinu. Make sure that the Tohu is no more, and the bohu is no more. Because that's creation. Creation is divided into two parts. Tohu vavohu. a nothingness and an emptiness. The entire Nusach of Tefillah is a renewal or a development of the Tohu. And when we finish the Tefillah, Umilifonecha Malkeinu Reikam Vavohu. When we leave the Shemona Esrei, this Pasuk should be no more. It should no longer be the Haaretz Hayisa Soihu Vavoihu. And that's why Chazal specifically selected the words Umilifonecha Malkeinu Reikam Al Teshivei. Everything until that point in time is a Tohu. The building and development of the Tohu and the Gemara is, and now let's finish up the bowl. Okay, obviously you can develop this a little bit more, you know, but I think this is at least an important starting point in the development of this idea. Okay, I want to ask you a question. This is not a full vart. More things I want to say, but this is a question which just choymer l'drush, question and just maybe someone here has an answer. I think it's a very good question, and if it's not a good question, stop. But here's the question: what was the first chait in this world? It's not so clear what the first chait was. You'll tell me Adam Rishon, the eighth and the eighth sadas. That wasn't the first chait. That was already.
I don't know if you call it a
chait. A chait, Adam ate from the eighth sadas. So it wasn't Adam, it was Chava. Chava, she already did not there.
Yeah,
it wasn't Chava, the Nochash. The Nochash was a chaitei. Chaitei amachti. So Adam, don't tell me the first sin in this world was Adam eating from the eighth sadas. Adam's chait was preceded by the chait of Chava. She already ate from the eighth sadas. Chava already listened to the Chava was preceded by the Nochash. The Nachash was evil. The Nachash rebelled against Hashem.
What about the breed that the trees did?
Right. So we're going back. So we're going already back. And then it says there's another chait. Chazal said, what?
The
Yireach. The moon, exactly. There are a lot of problems going on over here. You make a very good point.
So an interesting part. Why Sukkah is the first day is called Rishon Lechesh Menabai. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
One reason is because there's a Medrash that says that Eitz Hadas that Adam ate was an Esrig. Yeah. So being that we have an Esrig, we're showing the Esrig here. This is now you see this is the Rishon Lechesh Rabbeinu. The Esrig is what caused
the first chait. The first chait. Okay. I am part of Mutar. There are many first things. But one of the primary there's another very is that Adam and Chava they were naked, Eirumim v'lo yisboi shashu. That was a chait. Because when Chazal said they were naked, it means they were naked from mitzvahs. They accomplished absolutely nothing. They were living off government stipends,
did they have
entitlements. What?
They didn't make brachas?
Yeah, it says they didn't, I don't know, they did nothing. They did nothing.
It was worse than that.
Entitlements, Section 8, Social Security.
They weren't, they were
coffee time.
That was the problem.
V'lo yisboi shashu. At least be embarrassed. If you're getting a stimulus check, at least that you don't deserve, at least you should have a little busha, a little shame. That was a chait. V'lo yisboi shashu. There are a lot of chatoim here in the Torah. But one of the primary, you said very good about this, I think the moon, is that really called a chait?
Oh, that
the
was
moon,
my question.
Ain't shnei melachim, it's a good point. Is
well,
that really called a chait?
Well, there is
element of
chait.
Chatos and Rosh Chodesh. That's for Hashem. Hashem was the Mai. You want to say Hashem did the Chait. Hashem was Mai the Yireach. That's very esoteric stuff. But someone here mentioned one of the Iker Chatoim that we have right away is Eitz Oisepri. Hashem's Vayim Elokim Tachar Eitz Desha. The earth should cover itself in a cloak of vegetation. What should it do? Eisev Mazri Azera. And Hashem gave a command. Eitz Peri. Tam ho eitz kitam apri. And also oisepri, two things, eitzpri, oisepri, liminoi, no taruvis, no mixed seating. Everyone sits in their own chair. On the same side, together. Okay, liminoi, you don't get my joke saying. Eitzpri, oisepri, Asher Zaroi Vayalorets. Vayihi Chayim. Now, this is also, this is, what do you mean Vayihi Chayim? It was so. First of all, it wasn't so. This was my primary point. It says, Hashem says, this is what shall be done. Vayihi Chayim. No, it wasn't. This is fake news. Chas Hashem. Because it says, Vatoyitzi Oretz, Desha, Esav Mazriya Zera, Lemeo the Eitz, Oisepri. What's going on here? Rashi says they didn't follow instructions. The instructions were. What were the instructions? Eitz oisepri Rashi shehi tamo eitz getama pri vihiloi osesokein elo batotzi aretz the eitz oisepri the loy ho eitz pri. Doesn't say eitz pri. Lefichach, therefore, how do you know this is a real aver? Kishen iskalel Adam al avoinoi, when Adam was cursed for his sin, nifkido gamhi al avoinoi. Rashi says explicitly that it's sin. This was a sin, an avera al avoinoi v'niskalelo, and it suffered the consequence of koitz v'dadar tatzmiach loch as a consequence of punishment for violating Hashem's command. Okay, so how then can it say Vayihi Chayim? It did not do what it was told. That's one question. But I think there's a much bigger question which really bothers me much more. Vayar Elokim ki toif. How could Hashem say, and how could it be the Midas Hadin Elokim recite on this pasuk ki toiv? It violated Hashem's command. How could you ever say about an avera, about a creation of Hashem that has free will and violates Hashem's free command, violates a direct order? It's treason. Violates a direct order from the Ribbono Shel Olam. How can you conclude with the words Vayar Elokim ki tov?
This appears all through the Torah. That's very mysterious. The sun rejoices to go into. What does that mean? I mean, we. It's a very
okay. So the sun rejoices.
These inanimate objects. What's supposed to distinguish man from all mm-hmm. other creation is that we have the ability to think and to decide whether to do what God
and,
says.
And nature does not. You are correct.
So this is like a mystery completely.
100%. It is a mystery. I'm not going to argue with you one iota. I agree with you 100%. I'm just reading words here. I agree with you. I don't know what I'm talking about.
There's some kind of imperfection. The fact that God, it's like a teenage Tov Ma'od, right? They say that even death is good. This is like somehow God created into creation and imperfection is okay, so somehow good.
You're touching on the answer a little bit. You see, you just said something which is very good, which is very good. You really gave the answer to this question. You just hit the nail on the head. But let's first appreciate the question. Again, what's the question? We'll make sure the mayor understands the question. Over here, they did an avera. The Hashem created the eighth peri. It violated a direct order. It's like Millie, General Millie.
He didn't have a direct.
Treason. They asked Millie, who is the senator, says, tell me, if your counterpart in China would have done the same thing, would have called you up to say that in case our crazy president of our crazy country, China, is about to attack, I'll call you and tell you in advance. So what would they have done to your counterpart? They would have shot him in the head on the spot. That's what he said to him in front of the Senate. They would have shot him on the spot. So why are you different? Why would you be different than what they would have done to him? Hakol Maidim, if he would have done what you did, they would have shot him on the spot. Treason. So why you do? You violated direct order. Eitz Pri. Hashem told you. Eitz Pri. Tam Eitz Tam Pri. And it violated a direct order. Eitz Oisa Pri. And Rashi says, don't kid yourself. This is serious stuff here. This is called an ovoin for which It was cursed. You don't want to be cursed by Hashem. This is serious stuff here. This is not child's play. And the pasuk says, "Vayar Elokim ki toiv." What? Toiv? Accountability. Accountability. Where's the accountability? Toiv? Okay. It was cursed. But the ad kedei kach to say ki toiv? Now, in addition to that, I mean, this is an older question, is vayichain? It was so, it wasn't so. All the commands were not fulfilled. What's going on here? So I don't have an answer. I just told you it's really a question. You did touch upon something. Mr. Elman did touch upon something a little bit, and that is Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa v'hinei toiv. Chazal da'ashim toiv is the yetzer toiv. Toiv me'oid is, okay, I remember Malchamoves, it's all the same thing, Yetzer Hara. Really? Yetzer Hara is Toiv me'oid? Yetzer Hara? How could you call the Yetzer Hara Toiv? You can say it's a necessary evil, but you can't say it's very good. It's certainly not good, and to say that it's very good, you'll say it's a necessary evil in this world in order to achieve Hashem's role of Hester Panim, Bechira Chavshis, v'chulu v'chulu. But to say it's Toyma Oid, well, obviously the subject we're missing. We're missing. And it has to be that these two things go together. And that, but here it seems to be really pushing the envelope a little bit more. It violated Hashem's command, and Hashem let it get away with it. There's a very deep and frightening idea, what it seems to be saying. And you really got to be really super duper careful. You're walking on a tight wire in Apikorsis, and we spend a lot of time with this in the morning. Another is the fact built into the Bria is the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows, not just that a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you free will. Hashem allows you to get away with it temporarily. Let's not be very, very careful. Rashi says it was cursed and it suffered the consequences severely, forever. Koitz v'dardar. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to get away with its violation and suffer the consequence, and suffer, let's maybe add that into the equation. And suffer the consequences. No one's getting a free lunch.
Yeah, but the more troubling thing is that not just the entity itself suffers the consequences. Everyone else suffers.
So it's along with you. Everyone, the collateral damage. The collateral damage. Okay, I don't know how all this works, but I'm just making this ha'ara. It's kitoiv? Really? You can say kitoiv? And it's saying kitoiv? That's what it's saying here. And that shows that there's a complexity in the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu where we are kiloy machshavoisai machshavoiseichem. Hashem has a very long-term plan for this world. It's a very long-term process. And built into that are things which are very disturbing for us, but ultimately creates a system and a process which, if the Torah says it's toiv, is toiv. Okay, maybe later on in the time we'll tell you another quick word. At the end of the parasha, Rashi says, by Vayom Hashishi, Rashi, the end of the parasha says, the end of the Ma'aseh Bereishis says, that Hashem wanted, what Hashem was planning to create on Shabbos, he rushed up and he created on Friday. On Friday he did double. Let me read that Rashi, very important Rashi. The end of the parasha. Rashi, end of Yom Rishayim. End of Yom Yichulu ha'ashavar tzvachol tzva'am. Vayavarach vayikadesh. Asher boro elokim la'asos. So Rashi says here something that is astonishing. Hamelocha. Shahoiso ru'uya la'asois b'shabos Kofal v'osa b'shishi. Hashem created everything which he was borrowed Elokim la'asois. So again, without going into the details of how Rashi extracts this from the pasuk, Rashi says these incredible words. The melacha, what Hashem was planning to do on Shabbos, he did on Friday. He worked overtime on Friday to finish up what he was supposed to create on Shabbos. Okay, let's go back to Friday. What did Hashem do on Friday? He did two things. Two things. He created the animals, and he created the human being, Adam HaRishon. And Rashi says, really, he was only supposed to do half of that. And the other half he was going to do on Shabbos. So follow the order. What was he really supposed to do on Friday? Create the animals. What was he supposed to do on Shabbos? Create a human being. But because Shabbos, new Shabbos, Shabbos Hashem, Adam HaRishon got shortchanged. So when you do it very quickly, you make mistakes. That's what happened. That's why we have women, right? No. That's why we have men. That's why we have men. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rushed it up. Boy, am I in trouble now, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rushed up the malacha that he was supposed to do on Friday and on Shabbos. What does that teach us? That the original plan was for man to be created on Shabbos. Shabbos is a very different day. It says in the Pasuk, Vayivorech Elokim es yom hashvi'i, Vayikadesh. Shabbos is a day of blessing and a day of holiness. It is Hashem's plan, Hashem's original divine plan, for man to be part of Shabbos, to be blessed with Kedusha Shabbos, and to be sanctified. The circumstances were such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to just, through the technicalities, push us back to Friday. But Soif Maisa B'machshava Techila, hidden in the DNA of a human being, is something that is different from everything else in Maisa Bereshis. Everything in Maisa Bereshis is mundane. Is chol. There are 6 days of chol. Shabbos is Shabbos. Me'ein olam haba. Vayivorech vayikadesh. Adam belongs in Shabbos. There's a technicality. By design, Hashem, he couldn't do it, so he pushed us back. But that doesn't take away from the fact, Ola b'machshavtoi. This is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants Adam to connect himself to the Kedusha of Shabbos. Everything in creation, it is what it is. It's mundane. It's chol. But the plan, the Olo b'machshavtoi, that Adam should be filled, should be in essence, a kodesh. And that's what
Rabbi,
yeah?
Should be that this is an Indian why of Oilas Talmid Chachomim is Belel Shabbos. Think about that.
Okay, that's an idea. But the concept is that this is what Adam is meant to be. And that's a life work. It is a life work for a person to achieve what Hashem's real plan for Adam is to be, is to connect himself to the Kedusha Shabbos. Something very similar about this in the parasha when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he said Nasa Adam, Rashi there says, we learn the Anvisanusa Shel Mokam. It's a very strange Rashi. Rashi says that Hashem, he spoke to the Malach and he said to Hashem, you know, if in Shemayim there are you, there are angels, and angels are like me. Rashi seems to be saying that in Shemayim there are a lot of things in Shemayim, and there are also angels. If I make earth and I don't put a human being in the earth, there's going to be kinah b'maisa bereishis. Because what do you mean kinah? Because all of the elements of earth are going to say, well, that's not fair. You put us here on this world, and in this world, there is no dugma to to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of the different elements in Shemayim, we don't even know what they are. It doesn't tell us anything about Shemayim, but it seems from this Rashi that in Shemayim there is grass, and there is trees, and there's a sun and a moon, and there's a whole smorgasbord of things in Shemayim which are, relatively speaking, mundane. And then in Shemayim there are angels, spiritual creatures. Wow! Something. Now Hashem creates a world down here, earth. And in this world, there's all these mundane things. Hashem says to the angels, I have no choice. If I don't go create a holy creature, a human being, on this world, to be similar to Hashem, there's going to be kina b'maisa b'reish. What's the kina? That the trees, the grass, the animals, the fish, the shrotzim, they're going to be jealous. Look, in Shemayim, there are things, and they have a dugma of Hashem. And in this world, there are things, and they don't have a dugma of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I don't want it to be kinah b'maaseh b'reishis. So you know what? I have to make min. Okay, fine. You know what that means? You know what that means? If human beings in this world delete religion from their life, if humanity decides that there's no such thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu and they behave like animals, then it creates a kinah b'maaseh b'reishis. Then the earth doesn't want to exist anymore. The earth itself says, what are we doing here? The whole world comes to an end. The earth becomes jealous. What do we need? It's not fair. In Shemayim, there's a dugma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are malachim. Here on this world, we don't have a dugma. If an Adam is sacred and follows in the way of the Tzelem Elokim, then this world is very happy. The grass, the animals, the fish, the trees, the sun and the moon, wonderful. It's healthy. Everything functions. The earth is healthy because, we have a dugma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst us. Adam, humanity, a religious being. Just like in Shemayim, they have a dugma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have Malachi Hasharis. But when Adam lowers himself to such a low level where he takes HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of his life, then guess what? There's no dogma. There's no dogma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Then the earth is sick and tired of existing, and it destroys itself out of jealousy. Hakina v'hatay v'hakovid moitzin es adam in ha'olam. The earth will self-destruct. You know what is global warming? Uh-oh. It's because there's no religion. That's why. And when there's no dogma, there's no dogma of spirituality in this world, then the earth has no desire to go on. It will self-destruct.
Are you predicting this is what's going to happen now?
Chas v'shalom, it's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is the dogma. Klal Yisrael is the dogma.
The world, is
getting lower and lower. Exactly. But that's exactly the point. It's built into Ma'aseh Bereishis, the stability of Ma'aseh Bereishis. There's a kinah that this world was created. Hashem was mavdil bein elyon v'tachtonim. This world doesn't want to exist. The only thing that keeps this world happy is having human beings, a dugma of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And what is that dugma? Human beings that are with the program, that follow in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When humanity decides to remove spirituality, then the Rashi says, the earth becomes jealous of the Shemayim. And the earth has no desire to continue to exist, like it says, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakovet moitzin es adam in olam. The earth is moitzi itself in olam. The earth begins on its own to self-destruct. It's not like we think, when man is under, he prays, everything is good. You don't need to pray for the earth. The earth can take care of itself. But the earth has to have a reason to live. And if the earth has people that live amongst it, on it, that are spiritual beings, it has a reason to exist. If it doesn't, then it goes back to the kingdom of Ma'aseh. Okay, that's it. Everybody say thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best to you. Mm-hmm.